Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us for the next few minutes of the program. The headline in the paper read, New Hope in Search for Hebrew Bible Passages. A very old, they call it a codex, but it's just an old-fashioned name for a book that is the Old Testament, but a lot of pages are missing. Well, with a book this old, you'd expect to find some pages missing. How important is this book to Old Testament biblical scholarship? Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book, The Oracles of God, The Old Testament Canon. Dr. Steinman, welcome back.
Nice to be back with you, Todd.
How important is this book to Old Testament biblical scholarship?
Well, it's one of the great codexes from the kind of golden era of Jewish copyists in the Middle Ages, together with a codex that's called the Leningrad Codex, which is now in St. Petersburg. It is one of the great compilations and the kind of the height of the art of people called the Masoretes, who were expert grammarians and copiers of the Bible. And so it's very important in the history of the copying of the biblical text and how it came down to us. Certainly, we can get other texts of the Bible. We're not losing any text of the Bible if we don't have it. But it's certainly in the history of copying the Bible over by hand during the Middle Ages is kind of the height of the copyist's art.
You mentioned the Masoretes, and I remember during the years and years that I was required to take Hebrew in preparation for the pastoral office, carrying around this what eventually became a pretty worn-out copy of the Old Testament Hebrew text called the Masoretic Text. And it was full of all sorts of little, I guess you could call them jots and tittles, but all sorts of little marks and vowel sounds that we were repeatedly told were not in the original text, but they were there so that the text's meaning would be absolutely and utterly clear. Is that what you'd find if you opened up this ancient thousand-year-old codex of the Old Testament?
That's exactly what you would find. You would find not just the consonants. And originally, Hebrew was just written with the consonants, and you had to fill in the vowels, but you would also find marks that indicated all the vowels, how to pronounce the words, and you would also find what we call cantillation marks. They're kind of like accents and other things that would help the cantor in the synagogue to sing or chant the text when he was on duty to do that during the synagogue services. And the Masoretes were the scholars who kind of standardized all these additional marks in addition to the consonantal text that was originally written.
Why is it important to have, for Bible scholars of the Old Testament, or the New Testament for that matter, to have multiple copies, multiple manuscripts with which they can cross-reference their study in the text itself?
Well, because the Bible had to be copied over by hand, and you know, when we're talking the Old Testament, the latest books of the Old Testament, things like Ezra, Nehemiah, or Malachi, are still, you know, 2,400 years ago they were written. And so during the period of time before we had the printing press, hand copies had to be made. And while we believe the original authors were inspired, certainly the copyers weren't inspired, and the copyists may have made errors. And so having multiple copies help us to see how errors crept into the text and to understand what happened as the text was transmitted over the centuries. And what we find is we can very accurately get back to, in many cases, exactly what the original author wrote. And even when we can't be 100% certain what the original author wrote, there's no change in meaning. Having these multiple copies helps us to see that although the text was copied over by hand time and time again during the centuries, that it was very well preserved. And so having a number of these copies helps us be confident in knowing what God originally inspired.
Is it at all unusual, we read in the paper about this particular copy of the thousand-year-old copy of the Old Testament in Hebrew, missing a fair number, in fact, 40% of its content in missing pages. Is that unusual?
That's not unusual at all. Maybe the miraculous part was that this codex survived intact until 1947. It wasn't missing anything, and it was actually a modern act of rioting Arabs in Aleppo, Syria. They sacked a synagogue there in Aleppo where this codex was stored, and it was dismembered at that point. So it was actually almost a miracle that it survived all those years, almost 1,000 years. Before any significant damage happened to it. But many medieval manuscripts were this way, and when we talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have to keep in mind that many of them are very fragmentary, that we almost never have a complete scroll. There's a book of Isaiah that is pretty much a complete scroll, but most of the stuff we have from the Dead Sea Scrolls are just scraps with oftentimes more missing than preserved.
We're often given the impression by liberal Bible scholarship that the centuries of copying and recopying manuscripts lost and refound, falling into fragments, and now we don't have extant, you know, chapters of this or that or the other thing, should cast doubt on someone opening up the English translation, a reliable English translation of their Bible, and the text that they read there. Is that true?
No, it really isn't, for several reasons. One is we have more copies of the Bible, especially the New Testament, but even the Old Testament. We have more copies of those than we have virtually any ancient books. And, you know, scholars who study, say, the ancient Greek poets or historians or the ancient Latin poets or historians, sometimes they only have 5 or 6 copies that came down from antiquity, and they're very content that they can reasonably reconstruct with a high degree of confidence what was said, and we have many, many more than that. And then the other reason is we can compare things like the Aleppo Codex or its kind of cousin, the Leningrad Codex. We can compare them to the discoveries of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and what we find is that there was a remarkable degree of accuracy over a period of 1,000 years or more in copying. And so just because, you know, there's these many years in between and some small errors crept in and some things happened to the text here and there, doesn't mean that we can't have a high degree of confidence, because we find that there was a very careful copying of these over the years, much more so than liberal scholarship would also often lead us to believe.
With only a minute or here before we wrap up our conversation, have we forgotten, because we live in an age of print, and now, of course, hardly of print anymore, but of the projected screen, how precious these books and these copies of Scripture itself were to not only Jewish people, but especially to the church?
Oh, yes, I think so. You know, they were very expensive because somebody had to be paid to copy over things by hand. You only got one copy at a time. Writing materials, ink and paper or whatever they wrote on were very expensive, and we've lost kind of the preciousness of these things because we can get them relatively cheaply, whereas in ancient times, having a copy of the entire Bible was a real privilege.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. And he's author of the book, The Oracles of God, The Old Testament Canon. How big of a thrill would it be for you to lay eyes on this thing?
Oh, this would be great. This would be one of the great thrills of my life. I've seen the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that was magnificent. But it would be great to see a codex like this and see kind of the height of the Masoretic art. I've never laid eyes on it, but it would be a thrill to go to Jerusalem and see it.
I heard, and maybe you could add something to this recently, that they're talking about putting high-quality photographs of the Dead Sea Scrolls online for everyone to look at.
That would be great. I think the more people that can see them and have access to them, the better. You know, sometimes scholars make discoveries by seeing something new in a very old text, and the only way to do that is be able to see the text itself. So having things like that put online are a big boon for scholarship, and perhaps there's budding scholars out there someday that will benefit from it in a way that I never have.
Bottom line, then, someone says, look, I just read about one of these old Jewish Bibles, Hebrew Bibles, with a bunch of missing pages. How can you guys depend on the Bible? 30 seconds to respond.
Because we have so many copies that having a few pages missing from one copy is not a big deal, because at any single place in the Bible, we have many, many multiple copies, and we have very ancient copies now from the Dead Sea Scrolls that confirm that they're very accurate.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University Chicago, author of the book The Oracles of God, the Old Testament Canon. You can find out more about The Oracles of God under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Steinman, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we've got a half hour of Issues Etc. left this afternoon. Coming to you live this Tuesday, September the 30th, Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Now, you've heard it said before that Jesus has a threefold office. That's kind of an old word, isn't it? Office. The threefold work of Christ: prophet, priest, king. When we come back, we'll begin a three-part series with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the threefold office of Christ. When we come back, Jesus as prophet. Stay tuned.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul.
Racism and prejudice. Now what's the answer?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the book on racism called Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
Personally, I believe the solution to the problem of racism is actually quite simple. First, the so-called racial differences are so minor they're insignificant. The major differences are really cultural. Even many secular scientists are now admitting that there's only one human race, biologically speaking. I remember a TV series called Race, the Power of an Illusion. And while it was encouraging to see TV finally catching up with reality, this program was not willing to point its finger at one of the worst culprits in the spread of racism, evolution. While racism existed before Darwin, his views popularized the idea that some people are more evolved than others, and this greatly encouraged racist attitudes. The only solution is found in the Bible. Genesis teaches that all people are equal before God, all the descendants of one man, Adam, and the book of Acts declares that we're all of one blood. If people would only accept the history in the Bible and build their thinking on God's word, we'd be well on the road to successfully dealing with racism.
For more fascinating information on this topic, you need to watch Ken Ham's DVD on the origin of the so-called races. Genesis has the truth, evolution doesn't. Discover how when you watch his intriguing DVD and after you offer a donation of any size. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org.